We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dave Lee here on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline with Dr. Michael Osterholm from the University of Minnesota, of course, who is nice enough to join us here twice a week on this program, despite being quite active around the nation. A lot of people want to get his time. And Mike, always appreciate that. How are you?
Well, good morning. Thanks, Dave. It's good to have you back. We missed you.
Yeah, you know what I did? My wife and I jumped in the car and hopped in the car and took a little car vacation out to the Grand Tetons.
Oh, fantastic. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, and you know what was nice, Mike, you know, I've talked about this in private as well, but it's so spread out that we never felt uncomfortable, and you kind of control our own destiny.
There are so many things we can do today that, you know, we don't have to be just locked up inside our homes, and I think that's an important message right now. There are things we don't want to do today, and we surely see that every day in our televisions or hear about them where people are all crowded together, particularly indoors, but this is the time of the year to enjoy our the country as we can, and you know, go out for the walks in the parks. And so congratulations, that was a good way to do it.
I want to ask you about so Friday I'm looking at the New York Times, and there I see a piece by you and Neil Kashkari. Of course, Neil's been a guest in the show as well. He runs the Federal Reserve here out of the Minnesota branch, Twin Cities branch. And Mike, tell me about this collaboration of the two of you getting together to write this piece.
Well, you know, from the very beginning, we've understood that this pandemic is both about health and the economy. And unfortunately, far too many people put them one versus the other, when in fact they should be both. How can we support the other? And so we've had a wonderful relationship with the expertise of the Federal Reserve Bank here in Minnesota. They have been studying this unlike very few economists have. And so Neil and I have actually done other things together. We put on an international webinar program several months ago together, the bank and the university. And this is really just an ongoing collaboration. And this piece that was in the New York Times basically just laid out why what we have to do right now about this pandemic from a standpoint of really reducing its impact in the United States is not only good for health, but it's also good for the economy. And that's what this piece really detailed.
Now, one of the things you talked about is why the U.S. COVID-19 containment response failed compared to some other places. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. Well, you know, what happened in early March through April was many countries found themselves a house on fire. You know, we did in this country, particularly in the New York metropolitan area, but also in Chicago, Detroit, New Orleans, Atlanta, places like that, some in Seattle. And at the time, there was, of course, as we all recall, the need to flatten the curve, that idea of locking down the economy in such a way as that people basically sheltered at home largely. And if people weren't having contact with other people, you weren't going to transmit this virus. Well, many other countries had the same situation as we did, and they did a real lockdown. They actually really did bring the contact between people to a minimum. And as a result of that, number one, they really did start to extinguish the virus transmission. Second of all, is they stayed with it till they got it down to a point of where I like to, you know, imagine that big forest fire of coronavirus we had. They got it down so all they had were hot spots left. They, you know, they didn't just quit after they had 80% of the fire contained. And with as a result of that, they've been able to manage these little, and I said little, some of them are hundreds of cases, but nonetheless manageable outbreaks that have continued to occur. So it's not like it's gone from these countries, but they've been able to open up a great deal of their economy. They've been able to safely start schools again. And what we did is we got to, we went from 32,000 cases a day to 22,000 cases a day. Memorial Day happened. You know, the protests started and people said, oh, we're done. Pandemic fatigue set in. We don't care. You know, we don't worry about the virus anymore. And look what happened. Suddenly we're back up to 65,000 cases a day, which is absolutely unmanageable. That is literally a coronavirus forest fire of the worst kind. And so what we're saying is until we lock down again and bring these cases to a screeching halt, and which could, by the way, be for months and months, these cases can occur at these high levels because it'll be that long before a vaccine is here, if we get one at all. And our argument is that in the long run, we actually save money for the economy. We save more jobs, not lose them. And we actually greatly reduce the number of cases. And that's really the thesis of what we're trying to put forward out there.
Anything new on children and the virus?
Oh, yes. We are recognizing, we're recognizing the data are there now to support what many of us have been saying, the kids do get infected with this. And that's not a surprise. I think the challenge we have is, number one, is what is the level of illness they get in terms of severity. And in younger kids, they do surely develop a condition, this multi-system issue of what we call kind of a cross between toxic shock syndrome and Kawasaki disease. And it's rare. It's very rare, but it does occur. But I think the thing that's really going to come front and center over the next few weeks as schools reopen is those kids who are in secondary school, junior high and high school, do very much get infected but spread the virus. And I think we're going to see a lot of increased transmission in early September with colleges coming back and high schools and junior highs coming back. And this is going to be the challenge. We see much less of this in the elementary schools, but it's going to be a real challenge in the older individuals.
Dr. Osterholm, good talking to you this morning. We'll bring you back on Wednesday for the latest update and see what's happening over at the University of Minnesota.
Well, thanks, Dave. Now the state can get back to normal, but you're back, okay?
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks,
David. Dr. Michael Osterholm here on WCCO, joining us from the University of Minnesota, of course. WCCO time is 7:26.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.